You know, for us who are Christians, or Americans, to say that we have a king is something that is very foreign to us. You know, after all, we celebrate every 4th of July the day when we kicked the King of England out of our country, figuratively speaking, when we separated from his rule. And we would reject any idea of ever going back to a monarchical system with a king. We have problems with our current system, but we think it's better than the other options that are out there. But yet we do have a king as Christians. As Christians, we have a king, and that king is our Lord Jesus Christ. But he is unlike any earthly king we might be familiar with. Now, we are familiar with kings. I mean, we know of the king or currently queen of England. We know, you know, you can watch the movies of the old medieval kings and so on. So we're familiar with the idea of having a king, having a ruler in that sort. But Jesus is different from them, because he is a king who humbled himself to become one of us. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God, the second person of the Trinity. And he humbled himself to become human, and then humbled himself further to die on that cross for our salvation. And St. Paul shows how far he humbled himself. St. Paul says, "For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him." Everything that exists, exists because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he humbled himself from being the one through whom all things were made. He humbled himself to becoming part of that creation by becoming a human. Which makes the contrast between St. Paul's praise of our Lord and the reaction of the Jewish leaders and the Roman troops in the gospel so striking. Because St. Paul is praising our Lord and talking about how high he is and the fact that all creation comes through him. And then you see the Jewish leaders mocking him. The soldiers mocking him, the Jewish leaders. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Oh, he did all those miracles. He should be able to save himself. The Roman soldiers. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. You're the King of the Jews, just come on down. You can just let yourself down. It's not a big deal." What's interesting about that is that these people who are in positions of power and authority, whether it is the Jewish leaders who are, you know, they are the leaders of the Jewish community, or the Roman soldiers who have authority over our Lord because they're his captors, they're his jailers, they're the ones who put him on that cross, they're mocking the one who gave them not just that authority, but their very existence. Our Lord, as God, could have, without even saying a word, without doing anything, taken them all out of existence. He could have pulled himself down from that cross anytime he wanted. And they were mocking him. The authority that they practiced, and that all earthly authority, whether secular or religious, comes from the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they are mocking the one who gave them that power. Our Lord himself said in one version of the Passion that you would not have power over me if I did not grant it. Paraphrasing, of course. He granted the authority to the Romans and to the Jewish leaders to put him on that cross, because he knew it was through that cross, through the blood of the cross, that the kingdom of God was established. The kingdom of God came into being. This great sacrifice by our Lord on that cross is one that we should not take lightly. We should not take the sacrifice of the cross lightly. But we do. We do so often. I mean, yes, we do call Jesus Lord. We often use that term. which is fitting for a king. But do we recognize the allegiance to him that comes with that? Or is that allegiance secondary? You know, it's very interesting that we, rightfully so, are concerned about the political system in our country. We're concerned about the politics over in Washington, D.C. We're concerned about the politics over in Helena. And again, rightfully so, we should be. We are in this world. But are we concerned with our allegiance to the King of Kings? You know, many of us served in the U.S. military. We were willing to give ourselves to our government, to our military, for the defense of our nation. And again, very much rightly so. I would be the last to denigrate the service of any person in our military. And sadly, some of our of those who have given themselves to the service of our nation have had to give their lives. We may even know people who have done that. And we rightfully honor that sacrifice that they make. However, the question is, are we willing to give the same to the allegiance of to the kingdom of God, to our heavenly King? Are we willing to give even our very lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are we willing to take the allegiance to our Lord at least as seriously, if not more seriously, than we do our allegiance to our nation? As important as both are. When we were baptized, we entered into the kingdom of God. He became our king, and we owe him that allegiance. So this solemnity today is a reminder for us that he is our king. It is a reminder to us that allegiance to him requires something of us. And of course, that is requiring that we follow him, that we give our lives to him. Our Lord established the new kingdom, the new Israel, just as King David was king over the earthly Israel, and the people of Israel gave their allegiance to him and followed him. We owe our allegiance to our Lord in the new Israel. May we recognize and accept that allegiance and give our lives to our Lord as his people.